I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 107 of Internet Marketing, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. I'm Andy White and I am with...
Mr. Kelvin Newman. I'm trying to do a movie voice to make it sound slightly more dramatic there.
Movie man voice.
It's Kelvin. That's Kelvin. As it always is, me and Andy with some microphones talking about some good old internet marketing.
Excellent. And it's another questions and answers, and I have in my hand, because we had so many questions and answers.
Yeah, yeah. Split them into and two keep episodes. Them coming, because we love them, because they're the best episodes, I tell you.
They are the best episodes. Right, three questions on three pieces of paper, starting with a question from Colin Gray. Hi, Kelvin. Let's go to the right bit of the email. A question occurs to me as I write this, because he wrote a bit before that wasn't a question. Maybe you could save it for another show if you thought it was good enough to share with everyone else, or would be happy to record it for a future show if you want me to. Hang on, have I got that wrong? Should I not have read that
cool.
bit out?
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's all good. He's just giving a bit of background. But okay. We decided rather than recording it, we'd just go with the text one.
No editing in this show. But we'll go straight into the question. I often put my site live before they're really ready, partly through a bit of over-enthusiasm, and partly because I tend to think that the earlier Google gets to see a site and starts spidering the content, the better. Is this a good idea? I know that customers seeing a half-finished site isn't the best thing in the world, but I don't expect traffic to start hitting my site for a while. It's just really up there for search engines. Perhaps if you could offer some advice on the procedure to go through during the first 2 to 3 months of releasing a site, that would be really useful.
Well, we sort of talked a little bit in the previous episode about what I would do over a 3 or 4 month period of an SEO campaign, but I really wanted to answer Colin's question about... putting sites live before they're ready. Now, there's definitely some logic to that, because if you can get up a good holding page that already has your keywords there, Google will start to see what your business is about, what your website is about, and that's quite positive. But he is right to point out that you don't really want someone to see like a, you know, half done, you know, loads of spelling mistakes, loads of typos, because that impression might well then stick with them, especially if it's kind of like a half finished design. But I am exactly the same as Colin. I will, and I did this with Clockwork Pirate, the book. So if anyone missed that, nice little plug here, clockworkpirate.com, my free book about link building. But I did that with that, so that website was up for a good 6 months or so beforehand. Now what that had no links pointing to it. It wasn't that well optimized. It got like very little traffic, but that was deliberate, because, you know, it didn't bother me because there was nothing on the site that I didn't want anyone to know. But it did mean that when the second I made all the push of that site to get it going, you know, when I started tweeting about it, when I did the podcast episode about it, I knew it was already in the search engines because it had been there for a period of time already. So if people typed in Clockwork Pirate, it was there. You know, if they typed in Kelvin's link building book, it was already there.
Yeah, so it had been indexed by Google, basically.
Yeah. And I mean, so yeah, Colin's got the right concern there up there. Don't put anything that's going to ruin your reputation before you even started your business. But it can sometimes help to have Google there already. But Google will sort of start to appreciate what you're about. So don't use, like if you've got a domain up and you kind of put something random up there that's completely unrelated to what the website's ultimately eventually going to be about, that won't help you. You know, put up. So what I would say is put up a really high quality single page website that has a good title tag, good headers, good explanation of what it is you do, an email capture form, definitely. So you can say to people, okay, it's coming soon. If you want to know when we launch, you capture their email address. So you've got that there to give you a bit of a nudge when you do actually launch. But yeah, no harm in putting it up a little bit early. I think, you know, the days of big launches, I think, are numbered. You know, all of the biggest, most successful websites didn't suddenly, you know, hit the limelight. It was a gradual thing, you know.
Yeah.
There are a few people using it, then there are a few hundred people using it, then there's a few thousand people, then tens of thousands, and a million. You know, it's a slow progression, and that's the best way to build a website. It's not bang, because if you go bang, your website will break, you know. So it's much, much better to kind of be agile in your approach. So
presumably with your website, is it Clockwork?
Pirate.com.
Just get that plug in again for Kelvin.
Yeah, nice one. Checking the post.
Presumably you had some sort of human-friendly message on there saying something like, coming soon, the book is going to be out this, or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, mine wasn't a perfect example, because a lot of what I do isn't, you know, I kind of, you know, it's cobbler's shoes. You don't always do it the best way yourself as you would for a client.
Yeah.
But yeah, what I did have was a kind of, here is an email capture form if you're interested, put in your email details. But like I say, there was very few people that did that. In fact, actually, although I did make a couple of mistakes, because a couple of weeks before launching, I actually had the button up, because the thing that was interesting about the book was it was free, but you had to pay for it using a tweet. Now, And now what was interesting is I told Andy about the title of the book, and then you went off, had a look at it and played with the button, and it then tweeted out on your Twitter account, and there was nothing there. There was no book there at that point. So I don't know if you spotted that, but yeah. there are perils to this, because what was interesting was it was a prime example, because then, so Andy, a lot of people who follow the show, also, you know, follow me, follow Andy as well, saw that I've written the book. We've been talking about it for months. So, it must already be ready now. So like Andy sent off a cascade of about five or six people before. I said, no, it doesn't come out for another couple of weeks. So.
I've just downloaded Kelvin's book that doesn't exist yet. Yeah. Why don't you do the same?
So there are perils to putting a website live a little early. But you know, I've had it good and bad.
Next question is from Chris Baker of Last Mountain Photography. You can give us the fiver later, Chris. Hi, Kelvin. One for you, I think. I'm just wondering if you guys think article submission, specifically using SEO Linkvine, works for link building. Is it worth $70 US a month? Thanks, and I love the show. David Schmidt.
It's David Schmidt. Chris Baker's the guy in Outside Viz who emailed it to me, so yes.
Oh, I'm David sorry. Schmidt, yeah. Oh, dear. This is from David Schmidt of Last Mountain Photography.
Yeah.
You can give us a fiver later, David.
Yeah, Chris so Baker's Chris just Baker? My mate in the company. He's one
your
of
mate? Yeah, isn't it? Sorry, he's someone that works at Site Visibility.
So yeah, no, in terms of...
Sorry, David. That's David Schmidt of Last Mountain Photography.
Cool, yeah. So to answer David's question... I've not used Linkvine. I don't really use any of those kind of article, you know, those type of exchanges like that. We do occasionally put some articles up, and, you know, I talk about it in the book as a method of doing it. But generally, I think any kind of quick gap solution, you know, less than $100 a month, it'll send you super duper SEO rankings, either overstates its value or is drastically underpriced. And please tell me about it, because I'm going to go and put all our client websites on it. Most of these kind of exchange, you know, pay money will get you lots of articles syndicated, just don't work like that. Now, the best, and all they're going to do is take one article and republish it in lots of different places. And you'll find that the most value you'll get is from the original place it was published the first time. Once someone else duplicates that, you're going to be seeing, you know, diminishing returns off the back of that. So worth exploring kind of article syndication sites like that. But the best way is always about trying to understand a website where your visitors already visit. Spend some time building a relationship with the person who runs that website and get in contact with them and offer to write a guest post for them. That's far better than kind of article syndication in that way, shape or form. I've not used Linkvine, but from my little impression that I've had of it in researching it for this, it does seem to be on that slightly spammier end of the equation, as it were.
Isn't Linkvine something you drink at ski resorts?
I don't know.
It's Glühwein, isn't it? Sorry.
Okay. Well, if you're fondue and you're après ski.
I think it's alcoholic.
Well, in that case, I might be more interested. But no. So, but yeah, I've not used that one. But generally, any article syndication, it's all about quality rather than quantity. So you want to be getting quality links from your articles rather than significant volume of links from your articles.
Okay, I am now going to move on to the last and final question, which last is final, so there you go. Anyway, it's a very long one, this, so because I've been speaking quite a lot today and I'm a man, I might run out of words about two-thirds of the way down. If I do, I apologise. I've just actually seen what he's put at the end of this, this email, but I'll read
it
anyway.
I know the guy who sent this in quite well. He's an old school friend of mine, so he is playing about with us a
little
bit.
This is from Andy Kleeman. And hope you are well. Afternoon, Kelvin, brackets, and Andy's. Put me in brackets, see.
Well, we do go way back. We used to go mountain. Yeah. But, you know, excellent. I was talking to you before the show started about my tooth problems, yes. as it were, that I broke a tooth when I was 15. Andy was with me to pick up was pieces he? Of my teeth when I broke
so
them.
So if it wasn't for Andy, you wouldn't have those bits of tooth in your mouth.
Well, if it wasn't for Andy and egging me on to do it and then crashing, I probably wouldn't have done it. No.
Right. Okay, well, let's whiz on. Hope you are well. I've been listening to and enjoying your podcast regularly during my weekly commute for a while now. Working as a front-end developer, most of your subjects are in some way related to things I do, though I don't technically work in SEO. I'm sure you're both aware of the buzz, in quotes, around HTML5 at the moment, and imagine you're both aware to some extent of the new HTML elements it includes, such as H-group, header, nav, section, article, etc. From a technical point of view, the HTML5 spec means that you can and should use multiple H1, 2, 3 tags per page. The idea is that each article, for example, would have an H1, H2, H3 tag, and you would likely have multiple articles per page. This makes a lot of sense on a blog landing page, for example, where you would display snippets of your 10 most recent articles. Each snippet becomes wrapped in an article tag, which in turn uses an H1 for the title. Now to the question. My question is, how does this sit with SEO at present? As traditionally, I understand you should have only had one H1, H2, etc. per page. Do Google and the likes recognize the use of H1 tags within articles and sections of your page? Would this still see this as trying to cram in keywords to your page? Sorry, I think I misread that, but I think you get the gist of it. How would Google determine the importance of these? For example, would an H1 in a header or section have a greater value than an H1 in an article? What's the effects, brackets, if any, is this having on SEO for you? Look forward to hearing your thoughts and keep up the good work, Andy. P.S. You do sometimes sound just a little bit camp.
No, I think it's an interesting question, and one that, I'll be honest, I'm not absolutely certain of an answer of, but...
You've stumped Kelvin!
I think what we're getting at here is that HTML5 is new, and the rules and the parameters and how that's going to work with SEO are still undetermined at this point in time, because Andy's entirely right that... In, you know, traditional HTML before HTML5, the logic goes from an SEO point of view, you shouldn't have multiple H1s. Now, the way I always like to explain it to people is that you can have one H1, two H2s, three H3s, and so on and so forth. As I'm exploring HTML5 as well, I am seeing that there is this opportunity to have an H1 per, you know, section, as it were. Now, what I would say is it's not entirely clear as yet how Google are going to respond to these. You know, there's not enough HTML5 sites out there. There's not enough HTML5 sites competing against other HTML5 sites to really draw any specific definite conclusions. But what I will say is that generally, best practice in SEO is very similar to best practice in terms of semantic markup, as it were. So my argument would be is, Andy, I'm not absolutely certain of how this is going to wash out and how it's going to pan out in the meantime, but generally speaking, following the best practice of how the semantic markup should be is the approach to go for. So if the HTML 5 system, the verification pattern that they use there, suggests that that's how you should do it, that would be the approach that I would recommend, by keeping to the kind of I'm forgetting the word now, but you know, kind of when something verify is not the right word, is it, when it, you kind of, you test it and it adheres to the specification.
Validate.
So as long as you're validating as much as you possibly can to the parameters of HTML5, I think that's always going to be beneficial from an SEO point of view. Generally, in terms of headers and H1s and all that type of thing, I think there is a temptation in the SEO world to overstate the importance of that, because, you know, it makes us feel like, you know, we're adding value there. And I do always recommend it for clients that they don't have multiple H1s when they're using old HTML, because, you know, it is what we recommend. But in the scheme of things, you know, it's, SEO is all about marginal benefits. There's 10,000 things you can do on any website to make it more SEO friendly, and it's about choosing the ones that have the biggest reward. And what you'll find is, as HTML5 rolls out, you know, some of those rules will change from what they were previously, and Andy's right to be questioning them.
I'm going to put you on the spot now, Kelvin.
Oh no.
HTML5.
Yeah.
What are the consequences of HTML5 to the internet marketer? Very broad question, I know.
I
I know it hasn't fully rolled out. Yeah, not all browsers fully support it still.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I'm by no means a front-end developer. I'm by no means an HTML person. You know, I can't build a website. I can kind of have a bit of a look under the bonnet and try and understand some of it. So, you know, that's why I'm probably not as, you know, au fait on this as, you know, perhaps Andy and other people who know HTML5 are. But generally, I think it's very interesting because it's going to allow greater flexibility in HTML documents than you had previously, whereas you might have had to have gone to Flash or gone to something else to make richer applications work, and those richer applications required programs that weren't very search friendly. So from my perspective, it's a good thing because HTML5 allows you to do a lot more, and with simpler, you know, more basic pages from a code point of view. You know, simpler maybe isn't the right word, but you know what I mean? Like, Google can understand HTML5 in a way that they can't understand Flash. Mm. So the fact that HTML5 is going to reduce the impact of Flash, from my perspective, is a really good thing. So internet marketers, it's like, HTML5 is really good because it allows you to do some really cool things. It's good from an SEO perspective because it's going to make Google understand your website better whilst doing those more exciting things. And generally, it'll just give us a new thing to learn, which I think is always exciting. And that's why, you know, I like internet marketing, because every year, every 6 months, there's something new to learn about.
It's funny because my experience of HTML5, limited as it is, has been rather frustrating, because I was very interested to hear that HTML5 might have solved the problem of having to use Flash players when you want to embed some audio in a web page. And, you know, I started to look into it because I thought, well, I'll have a play with this, you know, just see what it's like. I started to look into it, and it does look like you still have to do a lot of faffing around to get it to work.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think faffing is going to be part of doing web business for eternity.
It's all to do with browser incompatibilities. You know, like, this browser doesn't support HTML5 properly yet, and because of that, you need to put this in just in case, and then there's a last resort, still fall back to Flash and all this other malarkey.
Yeah, well, I think that's it. It's kind of any kind of new standard is going to mean that there's people who don't adhere to the new standard, which then means, you know, every time IE brings out a new version, it doesn't mean it solves the problem of the old ones. It means you've just got one more one to try and sort out in your email marketing, doesn't it?
Well, that wraps it for today's show. Thank you very much. I have been Andy White, and my co-host has been...
Mr. Kelvin Thomas Newman.
Oh, your middle name is Thomas.
Yeah,
so is mine. I didn't know that your name was
Thomas.
There
we go. That's an interesting fact that you've discovered live, as we have discovered that we share the same middle name.
So I can now honestly say, well, it's goodbye from him.
And goodbye from me.
Well, I don't know. The two Ronnies. Never mind.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. Two Ronnies. The two Thomases here,
The two Thomases. So that's it for this week. We will see you next time on Internet Marketing, even brought to you by Site Visibility. Goodbye. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White is signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.